kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I survived.
You survived.
Yeah. Given that I had to take a mental health break earlier this week, that's a big accomplishment.
Yeah. Well, you were still on the episode just after the fact.
I was. Yes. I wasn't able to be
I'm
live.
A slave driver. Life. I keep you going no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm not like, Master, give me a day off. And I'm like, you, get to work. Play your video
you
games.
Want this game? I know that you're over there in a pool of your own vomit, but do you want to review this?
You better review. If you want the next roguelike card battler, you better review this other game.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of roguelike card battlers, a game that has absolutely nothing to do with that, we have a guest joining us today from Vidama Software. Ilmar, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Cole, are you good?
I'm not good. I'm just not good either.
You're like a 5.5 right now.
There's a happy place of like, I don't give a fuck. You know, that's kind of where I'm at.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Where are you at, Ilmar? Where are you sitting on a scale of 1 to 10? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Tomorrow, it'll be my mental breakdown. So, depending how it goes. But other than that, doing good.
Yes, tomorrow, we are recording on Thursday. Friday, you are releasing your game Dungeon Scavenger on Xbox One. For the people who don't know what this game is, give us the sales pitch.
Well, it's nostalgia, right? Most people that play games, especially about my age already, you always want to get that one game, that you try game after game, and you see something's missing. And then you said, you know what, I'm going to go do my own game. And that's what it is. And this is a game from that brings you back to the old dungeon school, dungeon crawlers. And the objective is, you know, just playing fun. Level up, get your gear, defeat the big bad guy, and, you know, just the essence of the roguelike.
And die a lot.
Yes, mm-hmm. You will. Especially if you have high difficulty levels, it'll be insane.
Yeah, this is a pretty tough game. I'm playing on the easier difficulties, and I'm at a point where I'm comfortable taking on most normal peon enemies, but as soon as I hit, like, the floor boss, I'm only doing 2 damage, and I don't know what the hell to do.
Yeah, it seems very not complicated when you play it. You only get 6 choices in combat, but you start to realize without actually using all your skills or different ways or actually upgrading your gear, you will have a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I definitely got to pay attention to what I have equipped and my skills. I'm terrible at using skills in RPGs. I don't know why. I've always tried tanking my way through everything.
Hey, hitting things with the face also works.
Cole, what's your approach?
I am one of the skill users. I will bomb the shit out of you with an asteroid as long as I've got the mana to do it. I absolutely will. I do not care. I go for that shit every time because it usually has extra benefits. Yes. Rather than just whacking them in the face, Joe.
I'm a face whacker. What can I say?
That's unfortunate.
Let me whack in peace.
But I do. I tend to, like, if you use the magic spells, then you get to, like, have extra defense or extra damage to certain types of attacks. And then it makes it easier.
Yes.
Even when you're playing on baby mode. because that's what happens when you play a lot of card battling roguelikes. Then you go into a dungeon crawling RPG, you're like, oh yeah, read what everything does. And yes. I'm incredibly grateful that Dungeon Scavenger includes details of what everything fucking does, because so many of these games are like, are you going to hit them? Are you not? What's going to happen? But you actually put in Dungeon Scavenger where it tells you what's going to happen when you hit shit.
Exactly. Yes. Before you even decide you want to hit the shit.
It's nice to be able to plan out your attacks and the consequences of them, as opposed to just like whacking shit in the face like Joe and not knowing what's going to happen.
Listen, we went over this.
Face whacking is also a skill.
I see a spider in a cave. I hit it in the face a bunch of times. It gives me 50 gold and I move on with my life. I come across some big elf dude that casts magic on me every turn and hits me for like 50 damage and I run away. It's what happens. It's what happens. But hey, I made it to like the third floor, so wow. I feel I'm doing good.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good. Did you fall through or you actually made it? That's the question.
I fell to the third floor. I made my way to the second. I did. Wow. I did earn my way to the second, but I did fall to the third. Yes.
I'm kidding. No, that's good. The dungeon has 20 floors, so you're almost there.
20 floors. Jesus. I'm never beating this game, am I?
You know what's funny is that you're like Jesus Christ over the 20 floors, but I actually saw people on Steam who were like, "How come I can't get to the 21st floor?"
I know, it's incredible. You make it harder and harder, and yet there are people that, but you know what? You can make 10 more floors. I'm like, wow, you already made it there. I released yesterday. But it's okay. The game wouldn't be what it is without the community I have in Steam, and they've been amazing. I have one player that has played over 500 hours on the game.
Wow.
Has beaten every single character on the highest difficulty level, Iron Man. Every single character. All of them. There's not a single achievement that he hasn't achieved. Like, I was running, he would be like, oh, can you add one achievement for me to do? And I'd be like, I do this achievement, you're the only person who's going to get it.
Name the achievement after him.
I did. There's actually an achievement after his character name, his Steam account. The elf achievement is based on him. It's due to him that I added that achievement.
That is so cool.
It is impressive. And he also made me realize, if you look in the settings, there's colorblind functions. And this character has issues with colors. I mean, the person has issues with colors. And he would tell me, how come everything's in red? And I'm like, can be. I mean, I made sure that, you know, damage and healing is different. He goes, no, everything's the same color. I realized how important it is to have that inclusivity, right? Like the ability for the user to actually see, to change their experience. So, yeah, the game wouldn't be what it is without my users.
That's a really cool story. What other feedback have you gotten from users that you've implemented into the game?
Everything. At the very beginning, the game was actually almost like Legend of Grimrock. You would walk around, do things and that, and people, we actually want to just get in the battles. And so I decided to, you know, concentrate on the map, because a lot of users would play just with the map on. They wouldn't even bother looking in the dungeon. So I decided, you know what? If this is what you want, this is what you want. And so I switched to just the maps and the battles and concentrated more on the gameplay, on the actual combat and what the monsters can do.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got to give a quick shout out in chat. No Time for Games just subbed for his 28 month. That's absurd.
Yeah.
It's so uncalled for at this point.
Fucking yeah.
But I appreciate you. No Time. Thank you so much. You are always appreciated. Awesome. Can't thank you enough. What else? What can we talk about? Your game kicks my ass.
I'm sorry.
Your game... I do appreciate that you have multiple difficulty levels on there. How do you differentiate what the different difficulty levels are to a new user? What should people be looking for?
Well, I definitely would have wanted you to start on easy past the tutorial. The tutorial actually forces you to go on easy. Mm-hmm. So if you at least you go on easy, you get an idea of the difference, right? Of what can you click, where can you not click. Once you pass that, some users tell me that the real game only starts after impossible. But I would say for you, pick what's best for you. The harder the difficulty, the more punishing it is to die. I think on hard, you already start using one item that you wear. You might have that sword for 20 levels and you lose it. In the hardest difficulty, you basically cannot play anymore in Iron Man. You have to go back to impossible, and then, you know, you don't get the achievements, you don't get anything else. So damn. It's one life, basically.
Permadeath? And you have
basically kind of like a permadeath, but I felt like if you were enamored to the character that you were using for so long, you wouldn't want to lose it. So at least I just drop you back one level in difficulty, and then if you want the achievement for Iron Man, you have to start all over.
That's nice. I know a lot of games are really strict on their permadeath and, we have a graveyard so you could remember your old character. No, I spent 700 hours with you in Diablo. I don't want a gravestone memorial to you. I want my goddamn character back after I lagged for 2 seconds online. And I'm getting off track here.
You sound like you're traumatized, Joe.
It's not like I'm speaking from experience.
This is PTSD right here is what this is.
Show us on this graph where Diablo hurts.
Chris is going to listen to this episode and just start having like Vietnam flashbacks.
Goodness.
Oh, my Lord. So where did everything start with this game? Like how far back did development start on Dungeon Scavenger?
I would say about 2 years ago. I released last year on Steam. I'm just a gamer, just like you. Database administrator by trade, and you know, decided I just can't find anything that is what I want to play. I mean, it is just specific to what I want. And I decided, you know, I might sit down as a hobby and try to do something. And one thing led to the next, and now I'm here with a company releasing an Xbox. Pretty excited about it.
That is so cool. I love when developers come on the show and they're like, yeah, I was just, and you know, I wanted to make something that I wanted to play, and here I am. It exists. And it's like developers who come on and they're excited that their game is on a Switch. It's like they grew up and they had a Nintendo, and now as a grown-up, their game's on a Nintendo, and now here, yours is on the Xbox.
Yes, I still took a picture when I saw it on the Xbox store and right next to it. You know, the typical, hey, mom, I made it.
I did the
same thing. I expect to get one of those from number one day. I actually did it.
I did that. We have a trailer for Qbert. On the store, Loot Interactive, they had us do like a little game preview and they used it as a trailer for the game. So we have an actual game trailer on the Xbox store, and I smile every time I go to that store page and I just see the SML podcast. I'm like, oh my God, that's us. It's special. It feels good to see yourself on a store. It's a cool feeling.
It is. It's, you know, a sense of accomplishment. You did it. Something that everybody that sees you at the very beginning says, oh, man, you're crazy. And then you're like, well, maybe I am. You know, let me try. But
I just noticed the game released August 21st on Steam last year, and now it's releasing August 21st on Xbox, 1 year anniversary.
I know. It's actually very... I didn't even try this. With Steam, I mean, with Xbox, you tell them, I want to release, and they say, okay, we'll find a day for you. So I didn't pick it. It just happened to coincide. I'm ecstatic about it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So how has the game performed on Steam?
It did decent. I mean, unfortunately, my users, I guess they're so busy playing, they haven't put a lot of reviews, but it's done enough. Not enough to say, oh, wow, let me hire 10 more developers, but enough to be...
enough that you got it to Xbox.
Yeah. Xbox, I pitched it to Xbox. They really like the concept. And they've been extremely helpful through the process. Hopefully they don't watch this podcast and realize I'm a solo developer. Because the whole time I'd be like, yeah, my team.
It's okay. No one watches this show. You're safe. I promise you.
So they liked it and they seem excited. And they've been super helpful. So I couldn't be more excited about that.
What kind of changes did you have to make bringing it to Xbox?
Wow, it's so difficult. The controller part took me a good 2 months and a half. It's ridiculous how difficult it's. You have to have planned your game for controllers from the very beginning.
Yeah.
If you did not, it's really hard to convert something. But it was worth it at the end. The user in Steam got it for free. A lot of people got excited. Hell, wow, no, I like that. I can use the controller now. So it's overall a good thing.
I love my controller support. Nothing beats my Elite controller.
Yeah, it's true. Are there differences between the Steam version and the Xbox version?
No, it's 100% the same.
100% same?
Yep. I actually, every time I do an upgrade in one, I try to pass the upgrade to the other one. I right now have an upgrade that is going to be in Steam and Xbox right before the release. I'm hoping that it makes it a little even better. You know, it actually explains things better. Like I noticed in Xbox, a lot of users don't actually click the tooltip key often. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now, once you go into the menus, it automatically opens the tooltip for you. So that saves us an extra step. So if you have a controller, it'll be an easier time.
That is one thing that a lot of games with like that point-and-click gameplay mechanic kind of loses on Xbox, is that they bury so many things, bury important information under a whole lot of key clicks. But as I mentioned earlier, Dungeon Scavenger doesn't really do that. Like, it's just like, hey, look, here's some info. Deal with it as you will. And that's actually really good porting. You said you listened to the show, so you know I bitch about everything when it comes to accessibility. And so not having to dig through things to find important information is always a really good accessibility mechanic.
Yeah, no. And I've actually listening by what you said in the last podcast, I actually added that now for the Malays, if you want to, you know, face hit some monsters, you can actually see how much damage you're going to do in Malay without actually opening the tooltip. It will actually say just like the spells.
Yeah.
So you can make a more guided decision on which one to use.
Yay, face hitting.
Joe over there, I see a face, whack!
Punch. I have a big hammer, I want to hit things with my big hammer.
Hey. Yeah? Uh-huh.
That's a life choice.
Indeed! Goodness.
Oh, my Lord. So a question that has come up in recent months that we've been doing the show that I've asked a lot of developers, how has this pandemic and how has COVID affected development of your game?
Oh, it's been rough. I have lost people that I work with, not so much like, you know, physically, more like they've been too busy to work anymore and then being like overwhelmed. And, you know, they decided, you know what, I can't do this for you anymore because I just don't have the time. And I get it. I have two toddlers too. My mornings are full of fun. And now with school at home, even more fun. But It is what it
Cole
is.
Cole can right? sympathize there, right?
Yeah. My whole week has been like trying not to put my head through a wall every time a teacher calls.
I went through orientation. It was like, you're going to teach my son from like a 45 degree angle to the whole room? That sounds fun.
I have 3 kids in 4 school systems.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I have an elementary school. Second grader, I've got a 7th grader in middle school, and my high schooler is in 11th grade and also taking college courses.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I'm so tired of the phone ringing.
I can't imagine. I only have 2 and it's already 9.
I'm like, please stop calling to tell me how to sign on to Infinite Campus. I've only been using it for 12 years. God damn. Ugh. But it could be worse.
You know, I'm actually happy. Everybody I know is safe. They're not sick. That's all that matters, right?
Mm-hmm. So I was curious about the art style for the game. I saw on Steam where you linked to the artist, but would you care to tell us a little more about who you worked with for your art?
Well, I have a really good friend of mine, which is lives in Poland, and he does commission work for me, so most of the work is on from him. But I did at some point find a really cool guy that he's actually in Hong Kong, but lately I haven't been able to reach him for some reason. I hope he's doing okay. But he does a lot of work. I mean, it's not as this one's particulars are so. I mean. They impacted me so much from seeing them that I had to have them on the game. So this combination of those two artists mostly.
Is that for the 2D art or the 3D models?
No, the 2D art.
The 2D art.
The 3D art it's been over 2 years. Different groups that have done several 2D arts, so I have reached out. The expansion is 50%. The group that I'm gonna stick with moving forward, Rain Entertainment, they're really good out of China, but they're really, really good. So, little by little, I mean, that's my biggest problem with this game. I have zero art skills. Nothing. I cannot even draw a straight line on a paper.
I am absolutely the same.
Absolutely. Yes. Oh,
Cole is disgusted with both of us right now.
Ugh.
Yes, she should
She's a
be.
Ruler.
Let me tell you, you see my drawings and you don't need to be sick to vomit. You can straight up just go.
Oh, no. Do you do anime chin? Oh, no.
Exactly. You wouldn't want to see my art. That would be horrible. But the good thing is that, right, there's so much out there and there's so much qualified people that can do better than me. So I'm definitely blessed that I have found them.
The card art for the stationary scenes, like the event scenes, is just incredible. It's very striking.
Oh, yeah. And they're both really amazing. And you asked me to pick by February. I couldn't say which one. I mean, I'm very happy about both. I wish it would have been a single artist the whole way through. But unfortunately, due to availability, you cannot always get that wish, right? Unless you both work together in the same studio, which is not my case, so.
No. I take it this was done with people just all across the globe. You mentioned working with people in China. Where are you based?
I'm based on Miami.
Miami, ah.
You're like, welcome to Miami. Yeah, based out of Miami, a single developer studio.
Your state is insane, by the way.
Is it?
Florida is just crazy. Mm.
Yeah. Oh,
this is the worst. I know we're going to get too political, but we have a very qualified person in charge that decided that, you know, teachers must go to school immediately. So,
yeah.
And my wife is a teacher, so I'm struggling with this issue, right? So it is what it is.
Man, life sucks.
Yes, it does. That's why this gaming.
That's why games are there to take us out of reality and put us in a digital world that's going to kick our ass repeatedly. I'm going to lose all my gold in a dungeon.
But you can hit faces.
You can't do that in real life without.
Yeah, I can't hit faces in real life without people getting mad. Unless it's my own, and then people just give me weird looks.
You have a little, you take a little.
Yeah.
Let me say, your views will increase by a lot if you start hitting your face.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, so in these dungeons, you have monster encounters, you have big monster encounters, you have treasure chests, and then random events. Tell us about these random events that happen.
Well, the idea is the events actually dictate how you actually, the main important parts. The encounters is more like the trash monsters that you get to the next event. Because the event, they can actually change a lot for you, right? There are events that send you all the way to the final boss. There are events that give you a monster, events that, you know, kill you. And the actual, plot line is finding events, right? So to move on, you have to find the event that moves the main story, per se. The main highlight of the story is about level 10 when you get to close the dungeon. And then the DLC hits you, say, no, not really. You actually have 10 more levels. But yes, the events is the actual story. The monsters are more like, you know, you get into the next event.
How many events are there in the game?
You want to keep the game interesting for all your users, right? So there are events that are unique to each level, and then, you know, repeating events that will work in any level. So I would say around 45 to 50 events total.
I see that giant beast way too often.
Yeah.
He always takes like a quarter of my health no matter what I do. Unless I tease him with one of my rations.
There you go. Feed the beast. But
can't face whack everything, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
I wish I could.
If you move to past the level 2 and 3 and forward, there, you know, different events. And for the DLC, there's a whole set of events just for it, which starts after level 11, right? There are events that, you know, makes you fight a dragon right off the bat. You don't have a choice. You better be ready. And there are events that, you know, that grant you, special temporary powers and whatnot.
Oh, so much to do in the game. I didn't realize that, like, the original game ended at 10 and then the DLC took you to 20. That's just doubling the game. That's crazy with DLC.
Yeah. No, the DLC is probably the most value I have seen. You get almost as more than twice the content for, you know, a fraction of the price.
Most people would call that a new game.
You know, marketing wise, you're actually right. I should have. But then again, that's also one of my skills that I'm really not good at, like marketing. So that and art, which is probably the 90% of the game's success. So.
Oh, man. A question I have to ask. One of our good friends, Carnage, is big on achievements. He wants to know what the story is with the achievements in this game, because we noticed before the game launched, it had like 12 or 14 achievements, and then a few days later, it had like 80. What's the story there?
To tell you the truth, I'm kind of new to the... In Steam, you can add as many achievements as you want, and people constantly want more achievements. When I started following the achievement situation in Xbox, I noticed that people really want, you know, achievements that are feasible, that can be done. Most of my achievements are that, you know, almost an impossibility. And I started with 19 easy achievements that were easy to get, right? Like you just beat the character, the level 10, and you're good to go. Xbox came back to me and say, how come you have, you know, so many achievements in Steam and you don't have it with us? And I didn't want them then to feel left out. So I said, oh, okay, I'll do all 89 achievements here. So unfortunately, that dilutes the pool of game score points that you can assign because you have a maximum of 1,000.
Yeah.
So I feel bad about the people that actually want to, they deserve to get all the game points for the achievements that are normal. I will look into that. I think there might be a way to have achievements that they're not worth, or at least not worth as much as the, you know, achievable achievements, let's say, if that's a word.
Hmm. Well, it's a word now, so.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad that, you know, some of these achievements are insane. It's like finishing the DLC on Inferno while, you know, I don't know, an arm tied behind your back. It feels bad now. You know, at the time in Steam wasn't, but it feels bad now.
Yeah, Carnage is an achievement whore. I think he's a self-proclaimed achievement whore. So he was bummed when he realized he had to put actual work into the game now.
I know. I felt bad for that, too. I mean, originally, I tried, right? I kept it simple. You know, you finish 10 levels with all the classes, you got all the achievements. But Xbox came back and said, I think you're cheating us. I'm like, okay. With all the achievements.
So there you go. Your next game you're going to have to develop from the ground up for Xbox achievement whores explicitly.
I'll make that an achievement.
Press start. There you go. 100 gamer score. Happy now?
I didn't know about this. I usually when I play, I'm not hunting for achievements. To me, I mean, if I get it, great, but it's not like I will go, how do I get this one?
Oh, you'd be amazed at the Xbox communities that are based around achievements. There's actually a couple of game publishers that focus on releasing games with really easy achievement lists at a really cheap price, and they do really well.
Look at that. The whole industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
There's like three specific publishers who will just release $5 games every week that you can complete in like an hour or less.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's cool that they get those games out to wider audiences, but
they are oftentimes a lot of games that are made by like one man teams that, you know,
they would never see the light of day on console otherwise.
Wow. But they'll port them, stick a $5 tag on it, and
there are a bunch of easy achievements. Go. Boom.
Yeah. Instant gold mine.
I'm learning so much today.
Dungeon Scavenger 2 is going to have 4 achievements.
Click these 3 buttons.
Press the start button gets you 250.
The creating, Konami code.
Creating Konami a character code. Gets you 250. Swinging your weapon gets you 250, and killing one enemy gets you 250. There you go. 1,000 points.
Full marketing. That should be my marketing campaign.
Write that shit down. That's
I am taking notes.
We always have one good idea for a show. That's it.
No, it wasn't. That was not the good idea.
We phoned it in. It's been a rough week, but we always have one good idea, and that's as close as we got.
That's really good.
If they put it on a post-it note next to their computer, then it counts.
Easy achievements. Done. Done.
I already wrote it down. You changed my life.
So what is next for you? Are you going to continue working on Dungeon Scavenger? Are you going to bring it to more platforms? Do you have a new game idea that you want to work on?
I think this is it for Dungeon Scavenger. It's the idea is great, but you know, it's like don't beat the dead horse to the end, right? So, I think I do want to improve. Probably partner with somebody that can do graphics because I noticed that again, that's my weak point, and the marketing is highly dependent on graphics. So I figure I have a friend that wants to help me, and we're gonna try. take Dungeon Scavenger maybe and do more of an isometric view where you actually control the battle from higher up, right? You actually can see your character. You fight more than one monster at a time. You know, do kind of similar, because I'm a fan of turn-based. I just cannot go as fast as the kids can today. So so it'd probably be something akin Dungeon Scavenger / Might of Magic, you know, meets Auto Chess. Something like that. I mean, we're still cooking the idea. And let's see what happens. I mean, hopefully next year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I know you've had the Xbox version in the hands of some reviewers early. Have you heard any feedback so far? Any early reviews come out?
I did. Just yesterday, I was in Twitch with my good friend, and I'm horrible at names. But I was yesterday with my good friend, Green Reaper Sage, and we were over like about almost 2 hours. He's from UK. Almost 2 hours on the game. Yeah, he's very excited to try all the classes. And shout out to him. Thank you for, you know, trying to help a small brother out.
I will say that is one thing I love about your game. It is incredibly addictive. Mm-hmm. I keep finding myself, you know, I'm getting low on stamina. I'm getting low on health. Might as well just go back to town, stay at the inn, deposit my money, do some shopping, go back into the dungeon. Let's kill some more monsters. It's always one more run.
Hey, face hitting is a lifestyle. You know, once you go in, you cannot go back.
Hey, I got to beat people down. It just needs to happen.
Oh, he's beating on the little guys, so.
Hey, the green slime was asking for it. The green bunny, whatever. There was a brown slime and a green bunny. That's what it was.
Yes, yeah. And I see from your chat the Switch release. I can try. I need to approach Nintendo and see if they're excited about the idea. But you know, one step at a time. Let me take a quick break after see how the school situation passes out, and then definitely look into any other venues for release.
Yeah, who knows if the Xbox version takes off? Maybe it'll lead to a Switch release. I can only imagine how well the touchscreen would work with your interface.
Oh, it does. It does. Like, I actually released an Android, and a lot of people liked it. And it's almost impossible to get people to buy your game in Android. Nobody wants to spend any money. And yet, people bought it. The reviews are there. They like it.
Nice.
I mean, it's much... graphically degraded. I mean, and the game is not super graphical to begin with, but and for Android, and you know, so it should be decently on a Switch.
Yeah, that would be cool to see. So there's the good idea. There's the one good idea.
There's the good idea.
Dungeon Scavenger on Switch. That's the good idea.
I have to write that down.
If it happens, we just want a special thanks in the credits.
We will. You guys be there. Brought you by SML.
I'll do all your voice acting for you. No one will ever buy it. So what are you playing these days? What are you enjoying?
I'm actually looking forward to King's Bounty 2. I'm very much into the King's Bounty series. I almost have to log on to Steam to see what I have played lately. Factor came out. Very excited about that one. Been playing it for a bit. I'm horrible at it, but you know.
I did see that one pop up on my recommended.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I'm jealous, but very, very surprised. I mean, he does have a team of about 15 people, and he's been working on it for 12 years. But still, it's quite a masterpiece. Very impressive. He's never actually dropped the price less than 10% because he knows how good of a product he has. So, the Barracks, been playing that for a while now.
Anything coming out that you're looking forward to?
Again, King's Bounty 2, maybe, let me see my wish list. That's a good question. Unfortunately, with the kids and the school and the release, very little time to play. Let's see. I think that's pretty much it. Maybe at some point I'll try RimWorld, but it's just not enough time right now.
There absolutely is not enough time at all.
No, I even tweeted earlier that just there's no such thing as enough time anymore.
It isn't. It's impossible.
Like, all these people are like, oh, you're quarantined. You have all the free time in the world. And I'm like, I can't fucking breathe. What are you talking about? I have to be reminded to go.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I just did it. I don't need to breathe for like 3 more minutes. I'm good. It's rough right now.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's very difficult. No, hopefully it gets better, right? You have to be positive, right?
Yeah. Now would not be the time to remind everybody that the 1918 pandemic lasted for 3 years, right?
Shut up. You shut the hell up.
You know what? I'm actually have a PhD in biomedical engineering, and I can tell you that I've never seen any disease bring the whole world to research something, right? Like, if they would spend the amount of research that they're doing in COVID in cancer, they would already figure it out. And it's amazing that 80 vaccines are already in progress. Right? Yes. So I got hope that this is going to pass one way or another. There's just too much interest and research in the whole world on this process. So it won't last 3 years. That's for sure.
That is the plus side, that we're a lot more technologically advanced in medicine than we were 100 years ago.
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the States who live like it's still 100 years ago.
There are still dumbasses.
Yes, yeah. But you know what? There's a lot of people that are very bright people out there, and they are going to come up with something. They're gonna get this done.
Man, I'm in redneck land. It looks bleak out here.
Definitely not your neighbors.
Yeah. My one neighbor calls it the Jacobus.
Oh, wow.
He can't even say COVID right. Don't ask me if he wears a mask. You should already know.
Yeah, that's obvious.
God.
But he has 4 AR-15, so, you know, he's doing fine.
Oh, yeah. He's...
You can shoot it down when it comes.
COVID, it's gone for us.
It's coming. Gonna down.
Oh, shit. They're gonna be the first fucking zombies up this holler.
Earl, it's coming for us. God damn it, Carl. I don't know what to do. Throw the grenade.
They probably do have grenades up there. I've never thought about it, but oh my fucking God, they probably do. They're like conspiracy theorists who, it's two brothers that live in a trailer together.
Oh, wow.
And like, they're conspiracy theorists, and they won't use a telephone. They have CB radios, and
wait, you, is like, this you the can same all- dipshit that came to your place bitching that you changed the Wi-Fi password?
That was the one son. Yeah. Yeah. At some point, he got to propagate.
Oh, wow.
Procreate. I don't know. I can't even word anymore. He did both. He probably propagated, to be fair. They are they're a thing. Like, I've told the story on the show before, but David had to go up there one time because they got so high that they were hallucinating, and they shot a hole in the roof of their trailer with a shotgun. Jeez. And David had to go up there and patch their roof for them. Because it was just raining on them. They were too stupid to put a tarp over it.
God.
That's scary and funny. Scary funny.
They are everything you think of when you think of dumb rednecks.
That's rough.
That makes my brain hurt. So, Dungeon Scavenger.
Yeah, sorry. I got on a tangent there.
I know we've been chatting for a while about the game. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap things up?
No. Thank you guys for the opportunity. I mean, I know you guys bring cool people like the Bulber and whatnot, and this is definitely the other end of the spectrum.
Hey, we love having indies on. We love everyone who comes on this show, because if you're taking the time to come hang out with us, we feel bad for you because you have nothing better to do with your life, and we feel sorry that you're here.
Well, I told the wife, I said, listen, this is very important. It could be big. So why don't you take the kids for a while? You know, I got to do something important. So for me, this is a break. So.
You didn't want to do a podcast interview. You just found a way out of family duty for an hour.
I know. So if you got to cover me if I say, hey, Joe,
this was my wife very important interview.
If my wife asks, you needed me for the next 3 weeks. I can't. She will listen to this and kill me. So,
it's
nice knowing you all.
Well, it was a pleasure having you on. Tell us, where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
I just started doing Twitter. There you go, the lack of marketing skills. So Twitter is a good place. I have a Discord channel. If you want to check it out, you can actually just click from the game and get to the Discord channel. I'm very active on that. And, have fun. Happy scavenging.
One more time, tell us, what is the game? How much is it? Where can we get it? When can we get it? Give us all the info.
Well, tomorrow is going to be on Xbox, $8.99. So try it out. If you like it, you're definitely going to feel what it was like to play Dungeon Crawler back in, 20 years ago. But, now you know how everything started. What the people were playing back in the day, what made the Dungeon Crawler experience so important back in the day.
Love it. Yeah, I had a great time with the game. I'm excited to see it release. Thank you again so much for coming on and chatting with us. It has been an absolute pleasure. Everyone else, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with some more show. Ilmar, do you have any final words before we end this?
Stay safe. Stay safe. That's what's important.
And we are back. Thank you again to Ilmar for coming on and chatting with us. That was a good chat.
It was a good chat. It's always good to have somebody on who has a good time talking about their game.
I know. I love having people on who are like really into what they do and really into coming on the show. And the fact that he's listened to the show and still wanted to come on.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
That's fantastic.
That was a mistake.
That will never happen again.
No.
Root Beer said promise as much a fairy tale as those park passes. God damn it, Root Beer. Ow. Have to hit me in my feels.
No one listening to the show knows what you're talking about.
Oh, that's a good point. We weren't recording at that part. So I made dumb decisions in the hope that my kid could go to prom in the spring if the world hasn't imploded. And it probably will. But yeah. I made a whole series of dumb decisions based on that premise that I didn't want her to miss prom. And it's kind of like how back in February I bought tickets to an amusement park. Season pass tickets. And they've just been sitting on my desk all summer. And I can't get a refund.
You want to know who else made a bunch of stupid decisions?
Who's that?
Remedy and 505 Games.
What? Surely not.
Good way to lead to the news of the week, I guess. They are attempting damage control. Get it?
I get it.
On the control upgrade kerfuffle by saying some bullshit about development only being on the new Ultimate Edition and not wanting to leave anybody out. So instead, they fucked over everybody.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Some bullshit that they're not doing any actual development work on the original version of the game. They're just working on this Ultimate Edition of the game, which leads me to think that maybe the save files aren't going to be compatible. Maybe it's going to have a whole new achievement list. Maybe it's going to be like The Witcher and Shadow of War, how it was just a completely separate Ultimate Edition.
Yeah. What if there's no development on the base version of the game, what about the DLC that's coming out?
That's already done.
Oh.
Yeah. It's still absolute bullshit excuse. There is no reason that they should be offering this upgrade to only certain buyers and not the people who dropped $80 on fucking launch day for your game and season pass right away.
Yeah. It's shady.
It's shitty, too. Shitty, shady.
Yeah.
Sucky.
Shady shit.
Shitty, shady shit.
Oh, goodness. They just determined to burn control to the ground, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, then.
Switching gears, Game Pass. A lot of Game Pass news.
Okay.
Let's get the bad news out of the way first. Games are leaving Game Pass. By the end of the month, we are losing Guiana Sisters Twisted Dreams, Creature in the Well, Metro Last Light Redux, Jackbox Party Pack 3, Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 HD on the 360. And then September 1st, we are losing NBA 2K20. And on September 7th, already, we are losing Red Dead Redemption 2.
I was a little surprised to see Red Dead being nipped so soon.
Only 4 months. After,
yeah, but then I thought about it and I thought they probably are kind of hoping that people got just enough of a taste of it that they're going to be like, oh shit, let me buy it at a discount.
Yeah.
And it might work out for them.
That's my guess.
People
too.
Do tend to do that, but that's unfortunate because I don't know that. I know that's a huge ass game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that most people would have enough time, even in 4 months, to have gotten through it all.
No. Plus all the Red Dead Online stuff, which takes up how much time.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. That's an insanely giant game.
Yeah, but you could save 20%.
So that's a plus.
So if you want to buy it and keep it, save 20% if you're a Game Pass member and keep playing after September 7th. But it's not all bad news because a shitload of games are getting added to Game Pass.
That was quite the GIF.
GIF? Excuse me.
Choosy moms choose GIFs.
No, you are full of shit. GIF that. New to Xbox Game Pass this week on the 18th, we got Microsoft Flight Simulator on PC and Spiritfarer on PC and console. August 20th, today, we got Don't Starve Giant Edition and Battletoads on PC and console, and then Darksiders Genesis and Crossing Souls on PC. And tomorrow, Friday, we're getting New Super Lucky's Tale. That's all in 1 week.
Yeah. Next week on the 27th is Tell Me Why.
Yeah. Also on the 27th is Hypnospace Outlaw.
Yeah.
And then on the 28th is Double Kick Heroes in Wasteland 3.
Yeah. This is a crazy week for Game Pass.
It's a crazy month for Game Pass.
Also true.
Yeah.
Also.
But that's a pretty crazy 8 days with Battletoads, Darksiders, Double Kick Heroes, Wasteland, Tell Me Why. 2 weeks with Microsoft Flight Sim. Which, by the way, I wanted to try Microsoft Flight Sim, and then I went to the store page and saw it was 150 gig. And I read online that after it installs, it downloads another 90.
Yeah.
I don't have 240 gig free for a fucking game.
That is a chunker. I mean, I've got the room for it, but I don't particularly enjoy flight mechanics in any form.
Yeah.
And the moment that, like, a game wants me to fly, I'm like, I'm out. So, clearly, Flight Simulator is not at all for me.
No.
Like, if I could push a button and make it fly for me and just watch, that'd be fine.
Apparently, it has a lot of settings and options in there to make it really casual friendly. Mm-hmm. I don't have that much room. That is so much space it requires.
That was a specific thing that I did when I bought my PC, was I was like, I have to have a minimum of a 2 terabyte drive just for game and art storage, because my art files are huge too. So I was like, I have to at least have a 2 terabyte. So like, I have a solid state drive for my operating system, but then I have a 2 terabyte hybrid drive for everything else.
No.
And it's a lifesaver. Yeah, but even still, I'm at like 1.4 terabyte left on it in 6 months. And not even 5 months. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a 500 gig solid state and a 1 terabyte just mechanical hard drive. And each one is down to like 250 each. So if I wanted, I could shuffle things around and make enough room for Flight Sim. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Because it's 250 gig for a game.
It's a lot of space.
That is absurd. Rock Band with 2,800 songs doesn't take up 250 gig. Takes up like 100.
I mean, Call of Duty takes up an insane amount like that, so.
Yeah, their new
fucking patch. That's kind of just where we have moved into with game development, unfortunately. It's just that you want them big expansive worlds, you're going to cough up the hard drive space for it.
Yeah, and these big expansive worlds are getting bigger and more expansive.
Mm-hmm. And they get expansive, and the hard drives get expensive.
Yeah.
That was clever.
I can't wait to see how expensive those fucking 1 terabyte add-ons are going to be for the Series X.
Mm-hmm. They're probably going to be pretty I don't know. I've seen some not be too bad.
150 each.
You think so? I've seen some 1 terabyte NVMe cards be in the $60 range.
Okay, then maybe 100.
Yeah. I've seen some. So I think 100 is probably fair.
Guess we'll see. Also hitting Game Pass September 1st, Crusader Kings 3 is hitting PC.
Okay.
And then September 3rd, hitting PC and console, Resident Evil 7.
So excited for this. I have wanted Resident Evil 7 for the longest damn time. And then it goes on sale and I'm like, oh, I need to pick that up. And then I forget. And it goes off sale. And then I'm like, God damn it! I have to remember for the next time. And then next time rolls around and I do it all again. So now this time,
now it'll be on Game Pass.
I don't have any fucking excuse.
Yeah. There you go. Apple has informed Epic Games that it will terminate all of their developer accounts and cut Epic off from iOS and Mac dev tools on August 28th.
That is a huge ordeal.
Yeah, this Apple and Epic thing is...
That fucks a lot of indie devs.
That fucks so many devs.
Yeah.
So many, because that cuts off support for Unreal Engine on iOS and Mac. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know what's wrong? I don't know that there's a winner in any of this.
No.
Neither one of them is actually on a good foot as far as argument goes. And I'm just like, I don't particularly like either one of you enough to justify saying you deserve to win this argument. You should just both burn. You asked for it now. Shit. Oh, I knocked that over.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Was that a can of pop?
Yeah, but it's empty, and that's the reason I put all my pop in jars. So that the can, when I inevitably knock it over, it's empty. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm so confused and not sure. I'm not sure that either one of them is technically fighting the good fight here.
No.
But we'll see where it goes.
Either way, the players are going to get fucked, and it doesn't matter to them.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm so, like, null to it, is just I see no good side for players.
No.
Or devs, for that matter. They've certainly been roped into it now.
No.
And so I just don't know that there's... I don't know. Rootbeer said devs are the winners, but I mean, if their shit's getting delisted, no.
I don't know. Some other news, EA Access is being rebranded to EA Play. Why?
To be more like Uplay, maybe? But why?
I don't know. It's also hitting Steam at the end of the month.
And why not go with Origin? Because that's what they use on PC.
I don't know.
Like, you can sign up for Origin Premium on PC.
Yeah.
And they don't use EA Access or EA Play on their PC branding.
Well, they're going to be using EA Play on Steam.
Well, yeah, now. But, I mean, why not just pick one for all of it and leave it that way? Like, that's one of the beauties about Game Pass, is that it's just Game Pass.
Yeah.
When you say it, you know what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
some other EA news. There was an Amazon UK store listing that was found for Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered from EA. Looks to be priced around $40, and I'm sure that's going to be confirmed whenever EA holds their next event, because I'm sure this is happening.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. That's one of their top games.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure I'll pick it up, because I have nothing better to do than play old games remastered.
We have got a lot of remastered games recently.
We have.
Like, the whole second half of this generation has just been, remember that 360 game you liked? Play it again.
Yeah. To be fair, the first half of the gen was that, too.
That's a good point. That is.
This whole generation has been that.
Did you like it last time? Do it again.
Get ready.
But now prettier.
Round 3's coming with Series X and PS5.
I mean, I'd play Spyro remastered. I'm not above it.
Oh, God. Speaking of the PS5, Deathloop has been delayed to quarter 2 2021.
I did see that. How come nobody hollers that that's going to kill the PlayStation the way they holler about delays on Xbox?
Because fanboys.
Yeah. That's why I blocked most of that shit on Twitter.
What do they have now? They don't have anything. They don't have Halo.
But they got Bug Snacks.
Bug Snacks looks fucking awesome. I don't give a shit. If I get a PS5, I am buying Bug Snacks. That is guaranteed.
It's a collector's edition. It'll have like little Lego bugs that you can pop apart. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Untitled Goose Game is getting a local co-op update September 23rd across all platforms.
Really?
Yeah. So, 2-player Goose Game.
I had seen a screenshot that had 2 geese in it, and I was like, that's a funny Photoshop.
It
never dawned on me that it was a real thing.
Yep, September 23rd.
Interesting.
Yeah. And last bit of news I have, Beat Saber's latest DLC is a mega pack of Linkin Park songs, 11 songs for $14.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, buddy. Bleed It Out, Breaking the Habit, Faint, Given Up, In the End, New Divide, Numb, One Step Closer, Paper Cut, Somewhere I Belong, and What I've Done. No Crawling, which surprised me. And Nothing New. Like, nothing from their most recent 3 albums.
Maybe they think those are the songs they're best known for and might be the bigger draw.
I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with the Hybrid Theory 20th anniversary is happening, I think, next month. Which, by the way, they have a 20th anniversary version of Hybrid Theory on iTunes for $50.
Wow.
Because it has 80 songs on it.
Wow.
Yeah. Guess who's going to be owning that? Wow. Hey, I love my Linkin Park. I don't give a shit. And for the people who wrote off Linkin Park after their first 2 albums, Rupier, they could have gotten a relevant band at least. Ouch. For the people who wrote off Linkin Park after their first 2 albums, listen to The Hunting Party. It is their heaviest album, and it is incredible. It is my favorite Linkin Park album, so check that one out.
I always find it interesting that when a band starts off with like really heavy, hardcore, grungy music, and as they age, the music becomes more mellow, and then people get pissed about it, and they're like, "Oh, that's what you made 20 years ago," and you're like, "Yeah, but they're like 50 now. They don't want to be screaming. They got vocal cords to preserve." And also, sometimes you're just not that mad anymore when you don't have teenage angst riding around on your shoulder. So I don't know. People get so mad. They do that a lot to Incubus.
Oh, Incubus, I think they kind of pulled a Sugar Ray, and they mellowed out after they got a radio hit.
I like their mellowed out stuff, though. But I don't like music that yells at me. And so And if you think about it, even as far back as like... you know, Make Yourself and Stuff had Stellar, and that was a mellow song. And Morning View had Aqueous Transmission, and Brandon Boyd literally said in an interview they wanted that to be such a mellow song that you felt like pissing yourself after it was over. So, I mean, it wasn't like a big surprise that they went mellow, because there was always tucked away in there. But people are always like, give us Fungus Among Us again. And I'm like, I don't want to hear 50-year-old long-haired Brandon Boyd rapping anymore. I want him to sing to me.
Yeah, well, I want Chester Bennington to sing to me, and he can't anymore, makes me very sad.
And that's heartbreaking, because I would have enjoyed hearing him sing as well. I had one shot to go see Incubus and Linkin Park together.
Oh.
And David wouldn't let me go because I was pregnant.
Oh.
And so we didn't go. They were in Cincinnati. It was an outdoor concert, but he was afraid that, given that, you know, it's Incubus and then Linkin Park, that like people would be rowdy and I might get hit in the stomach or something. Mm. And he was worried. That and the weed. And with me being pregnant, he was like, let's not. Well, I'm sure we'll catch him again. Well, we see how that panned out. And now I'll never get to see them together.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to go see Linkin Park right when Hybrid Theory first released. In Philadelphia, tickets were $8.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I couldn't make it.
This was an outdoor concert, and it was like $40. And I was like, fucking let's go. I'll sit in a car for 5 hours to go.
But just the thought of Linkin Park, like their last tour, tickets are like $100 for Linkin Park. You could have seen them for $8 before they were famous.
Yeah.
So support local music, because you never know when that local band is going to be the next Linkin Park or Incubus.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So reviews, you ready for these?
Yeah.
Cool. We got to get Aki in here. I am so unprepared for this. I thought I was ready, and I'm not.
I'm not prepared for shit. I'm just going to be flying by the seat of my pants.
I'm
wearing leggings, so that's not a good sign.
Yeah, she's here now, so what are you going to do? Aki, how are you?
Tough shit. Better now. Much better.
Why?
Because now I can get on my computer and I'm not as lonely. No, I didn't... Okay, for everyone who doesn't know, which is everybody, my TV stopped working yesterday, and I had to go out and get a new one. Only problem is my computer puts out old visual stuff, so I had a VGA and like DVD. Yeah, I had a DVI to VGA, and that's how it hooked into my old TV. But new TVs, they don't have that shit anymore.
You don't say.
So I got a TV, and then I was like, well, I can't. They didn't have a DVI to HDMI cable or converter or anything in the store. They could have ordered one, but it was going to take until fucking next Wednesday or later to get it. So I was like, I'll just check on Amazon. Well, I had someone else fucking check, because obviously I couldn't. And yeah, that came in today, thank God. But
nice.
Yeah, yesterday I realized I'm always on Skype, and I'm in a bunch of groups, and I didn't realize how lonely I am on any given day. That is what keeps me functioning. All I did was cry last night because I was so lonely, because I didn't have like all the Skype messages and shit that I was just reading all throughout the entire day. I had none of that. And I was like, I am so fucking lonely right now.
Aww.
That's like me on Discord at 2 a.m. I'm like, why the fuck isn't anybody talking? I need to hear the pings.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even hear anything. I just like being able to go and see that people are talking. Even if I don't say anything, it's just like having people in the house that are just background noise. It's
Reddit never sleeps.
Well, yeah. Right. I don't like Reddit. I don't like that whole system. It confuses me. I am a simpleton to the highest fucking degree when it comes to anything internet-based or computer-based or... God, I'm an old person now. God, no.
Yeah. So, reviews, should we do these?
Yes.
Cool. First game to talk about is called Metamorphosis, developed by OvidWorks, published by All In Games, released August 12th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $24.99. Play as Gregor turned into a tiny bug and set out on an extraordinary journey to unravel the mystery of your transformation. Metamorphosis is a first-person adventure set in a surrealist world where your newfound abilities are your last and only hope for redemption. Which one of you wants to start?
Let Aki go. She's already like 1K the game, and at this point, I am just better as pulling him back up here.
All right, Aki, tell us about Metamorphosis.
Woohoo! Okay, you play as Gregor, as stated. You've gone and partied with your friend Joseph for some fucking reason, who knows what, and you wake up as some cockroach-like thing. You're a bug now. Enjoy life. You're getting weird letters and messages from some place called The Tower. And they're telling you that, hey, they employ bugs just like you. And if you work for them and you get to them, they might be able to turn you back to human. The fuck is wrong with this game? It is so fucking weird.
So I want to point out that the game is actually based on, like, a 50-some-odd-year-old book. That's the source material.
I have not read that.
It's, at all. It's an interesting premise to see a game based on not just a book, but such an old book.
Yeah.
And yet still manage to, like... feel comfortable and not outdated, like as comfortable as you can feel playing as a cockroach. But it's meant to be kind of unsettling and weird and jarring, and it does a really good job of pulling you into that world of like everything about this is fucked up.
Yeah, that's the entire game. Fucked up. That's the entirety of this game. There's two story paths. There's Gregor's, which is pretty much just get from point A to point B so you can get to the fucking tower because you want to be human. And then there's the important story that actually matters. That's Joseph's story.
My story matters.
Yeah. The morning you wake up as a cockroach, you go to find him, and police have burst into his room. One of them's being real creepy and is sniffing and licking up his diary, which is creepy. Creepy fuckers are creepy. All while he's asleep. He didn't even bother fucking waking him up or anything. And then when you wake him up, the officer won't tell him what he's done wrong or anything. He's just like, you're not allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to talk to anyone. You're not allowed to leave. You're just stuck here until we put you in the back of a van and you disappear. And the entire story, his entire story is told in the background of other levels as you're playing them, because you're going through areas like you need a certificate, an authenticated certificate from a lawyer to get passage to the tower. Well, Joseph also is happening to meet that lawyer to figure out what the fuck he's even accused of, which goes nowhere. as far as I know, to the end of the game, Joseph never knows what the fuck he's even being charged with.
Doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that's not right at all. It's fucked up and
it was
wrong.
A different time back in those days.
So his story is told in the background. Gregor's story is fucking pointless, quite honestly, because literally it's just, I need to get to the tower so I can become human. The very last level is you getting to the tower. So Gregor's story is useless. I have no point for that. I would have liked to have seen more of Joseph's story, honestly, because it existed. However, the thing I can say about it is the gameplay. The mechanics are really cool. Like, you can jump really high. You can, well, for a bug, obviously.
You have to be careful, because jumping really high isn't all it's cracked up to be. Like, you can die to fall damage, and then, like, you are subjected to these little illustrations of your little cockroach body dead in various layouts because of your negligence.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, it's a dead bug. You have a hard time sympathizing with Gregor, because...
He has no personality.
Yeah, he's just a cockroach just crawling around. And he's just like, well, this is the thing that's happening. I don't really care. I'm just going to crawl here and there. And you're like, okay, dude. Yeah,
like, there's a very small amount of backstory throughout the entire thing for Gregor. He apparently has an asbestos factory. That's it. That's the entirety of his story. Is that, and he was friends with Joseph. The end. Yay. In the end, you get a little bit more backstory, but it has no bearing on the plot whatsoever. It's, again, useless. Gregor's fucking completely useless. But playing as him is fun. Like, you can to crawl up walls and stuff, which you can do. You are a cockroach. You can't do it naturally, which is weird. Instead, you have to step into sticky stuff. In one level, it's ink. In most of the levels, it's mustard, I guess?
It looks like some kind of wood glue.
Oh, okay. I couldn't figure out what it was. I was like, it's yellow. Maybe it's mustard. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know why people just have mustard everywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes more sense than it just being like 5 billion bottles of opened fucking mustard all over the place.
Can't confirm that people have 5 million bottles of open wood glue everywhere if you're into wood projects. Because you open that shit, you use it, and then you're like, the fuck my wood glue go? And then you gotta go and buy more wood glue. So that's why it seemed like the most logical thing to me. And then before you know it, you got like wood glue in every drawer. And that seemed pretty real. true to life as far as my experiences go.
You can also find different documents throughout the game. You don't have to. There's just little interesting tidbits of information. Like the diary that's being licked by the cop because he's a fucking creepy fuck. You actually climb on it later on in that same first level, and you can push B, at least on the Xbox. I don't know what it is on anything else, but fuck everything else. and you zoom in onto the diary, and you can actually read it. And there's various notes and other loose pieces of paper and the like throughout the rest of the game that you can do that too. They don't really add too much to the story. I just liked reading random shit, really, because that's what most of it was just random shit.
Nice.
Yeah. That's pretty much all there is to it. I mean, you're just getting from point A to point B, climbing shit. Occasionally there's a little puzzle, but the puzzles are really just spin this dial around and tell you get what you're supposed to get and be done with it.
So it's more just like a first person adventure than any kind of in depth adventure puzzle game.
Well, it does have some pretty tough platforming elements to it. But I say pretty tough, but like the biggest way that it makes it difficult is that you can't, we mentioned the wood glue, but you also can't walk upside down. You can't get like overzealous and think that your path is going to let you just, even with the glue or on you, you can't be strolling around on upside down on stuff or you're going to fall and have to be subjected to the dead roach art.
And also, the fun thing is, because Gregor is useless and has no personality, really, there's an achievement for killing him in every possible way.
I love when games do that.
Yeah.
Die every possible way.
Sadly, there's not many, but there's like 6-7 of them, I think, something like that.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. And most of them are specific to individual levels, so
the checkpoints are fairly tolerable as well. Like they don't set you too far back when you do die, so it's not meant to punish you or be like this overwhelmingly difficult game that you're going to be putting dozens of hours into. It's meant to be a short, sweet narrative run through and experience and call it done.
Yeah, I think my playthrough for it, and I had to play through some of it over again, I think it took me like 11 hours total. And that's because I had missed a bunch of stuff. And yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Every level you go through, also, once you beat it, it's unlocked. So it's not like, oh, I missed dying this way in this level. I have to replay the fucking whole game again. No, you just replay that level and you just go straight to that death as fast as you can.
just kill yourself as quick as you can.
Yeah. Which is typically what I meant when I said, oh yeah, and I missed stuff, so I had to go back. Yeah, it was mostly just going and killing myself or some other innocuous little tiny achievements. Because there's a few tinier achievements, but most of them are just for beating the levels, which is nice.
Yep.
All right, well, $25 on it. What do the two of you think of it?
Cole, you go first.
It's kind of a high price given that it's a shorter game. And, I mean, it's not overwhelming on gameplay. This is the kind of game that I would, like, say would fit better in a $15 price range. Does have a unique art style, and I can give it that. But I don't know that I quite feel that $25 is a good price for it. I do think it's intriguing. I think it's cool if you're into that kind of surreal, absurdist kind of storytelling. But again, it's not going to be for everybody, and I'm more inclined to be like, try it, but maybe wait for a sale.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's more of a $10 game, because there's not much to it, and the character you're playing as, his story is fucking worthless. Like, Joseph's story is literally the only important one in there, and it's only told through tiny fragments.
It is every like now a and subplot then in scattered in the back.
Yeah.
I did have one other thing I wanted to gripe about. Uh-huh. And that was the lack of subtitles for ambient sounds. That's a me thing. I'm very well aware of that. But it's an accessibility thing. And they did a good job on subtitles for like when Gregor is speaking, but not always when there is speech going on in the background.
Mm.
I didn't even know there was speech going on in the background. Okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that would have been useful for me too.
Ambient subtitles for that.
I didn't even notice. I say because it has a lack of story and there's not much gameplay here, while the gameplay is fun. So I do hope to see another game by this group in the future, because the gameplay was cool. There's just not enough of it, and the story there is just so minimalistic that I have to say, wait until this is on a really big sale. I think it's worth playing, though. It is fun.
So it sounds like a try it across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
All right. Well, Aki, are you sticking around or were you heading out?
I think I'm going to head out because I'll just be in Cole's way.
Well, I'm in Cole's way.
Well, I'm always too. In the way, too. So. Just take the headphones off and walk away. I'm like, peace. Cole sits here. Next game. Where's my notes?
Raiden
coming from one and only Steph. We're getting raided. A party of 8. Hello, Raiders. How is everyone doing? You missed the interview, but you were here just in time for reviews. Aki's on her way out, so you could get the hell out of here if you want.
Bye, Aki. Yeah. Get fucked, bitch. Welcome to the show. If you haven't been here before, I'm a foul mouth.
Yes, Zenfusion, thank you for the follow. Everyone, Five Mil is here. Awesome Prime is here. One and only Steph is here. A lot of people showing up. Thank you for coming and hanging out. Again, you missed the interview, but you could check out Dungeon Scavenger on the Xbox One. I believe it's actually out right now for $8.99.
Might be. If not, it should be out tomorrow at the latest.
But yeah, if not, check tomorrow. Dungeon Scavenger, it is $8.99. First-person dungeon crawler. Kind of old-school flavored, so you're going to have to deal with... some, oh, my God. 5 Mil just subbed with Twitch Prime. 5 Mil, thank you so much for the sub. Pernell, what do you say to that?
Fucking yeah!
That's right, Pernell. Fucking yeah! Oh, man. Should we move on to more reviews?
Yeah, let's get them done.
All right, next game to talk about is called Cooking Simulator, developed and published by Big Cheese Studio, released August 14th on Xbox One for $19.99. Play one of the best cooking games. Take control of a highly polished, realistic kitchen equipped with all kinds of utensils and stands. Unlock and master over 60 recipes or use dozens of lifelike ingredients to cook everything you like. The simulator spiced up with a dash of real-life physics. Cole, tell us about Cooking Simulator.
Hold on, before I can tell you about anything about Cooking Simulator, I had to go look up something. What was the name of the studio?
Cooking Simulator, Big Cheese Studio.
Interesting. I was 100% convinced that it had to be the same developers as PC Building Simulator, and maybe even Car Mechanic, but I don't think it doesn't look like it is. I'm so perplexed because it's fucking identical.
Okay.
If you have played literally any other blue-collar job simulator, you're on the board with Cooking Simulator. It's very similar. There is a sandbox mode. You can go cook up whatever the fuck your little heart desires. That's all well and good. There is an arcade mode if you want to just cook up over some challenges. But what's really the bread and butter, what we're all fucking here for, is the career mode. And that is where you have a kitchen. They tell you how to not be a dumbass with your kitchen. And then you are set loose with your kitchen. You get orders every day. And you have to cook the meals and serve them up and hope that you don't get review bombed. I got review bombed. We'll get to that. I did a dumb. So basically, you'll need to learn your way around the kitchen. It's pretty cut and dry. It's very square shaped. There is one little weird offshoot where there's a couple of things that you'll need. That if it weren't for the fact that during the tutorial, it constantly gave me this green line to tell me where to go. I would have been fucked. I would have been like, I will never find where my tomatoes are. Okay. I don't know why they're in this weird little cubby hole in the corner when everything else is in a square. But I realized that I had bought like 700 tomatoes I didn't need because they were all already over there. But at least I was well stocked on tomatoes for the soup that nobody ordered. So because this is a simulator, it really takes the nitty gritty details of being a chef and sticks you with all of it. If your dishes are dirty, you need to actually get a sink full of hot water and wash your goddamn dishes. If you drop a plate, you can't just pick it back up. It's broken. You gotta go buy a new plate. Okay? Just like in real life, I was dropping shit everywhere. And it was gone. That was that. Couldn't have a new plate. Had to go buy it. Constantly had to wash shit because I was terrible. One of my favorite things is like recipes will call for herbs, right? And so you have to pick up the herb and then you have to press A to shake it. And then you actually have to hold it like directly over whatever you're shaking on. So let's say you're making a lovely trout. Okay. Ew. But let's say you're making a trout. So you have
why
to go to the
fridge. Why did you use that example and then go, ew?
I don't like fish.
Why did you use that example?
Because it's one of the early ones and I don't want to give away good shit. I don't tell you what it starts you off with. God, ew, fish. So you got to start somewhere and you start with the fucking trout. All right? I already gave away that nobody buys my fucking soup. So here. So you got to go to the fridge and you actually have to open the fridge and you have to buy the trout. You buy the trout, you carry it over to your little island prep area that hopefully you set up beforehand. Otherwise, you're kind of fucked because you do need to do this in a timely manner. And then let's say you got to season your trout, right? You can't just like give the dude some trout on a plate. You got to season it. So you got to pick up the little can of seasoning and you have to actually tilt it. And then it'll have a little red highlight that shows you where what you shake out is going to go. If you put that shit on the plate and not on the fish, you fucked up. Your fish isn't going to be tasty. I mean, it's not going to be tasty anyway, but it's not going to be tasty because it ain't got no seasoning. Okay? So, like, the game punishes you for cooking like a white person. And you have to actually put some seasoning on there. You'll get dock points, okay? Can't be throwing out bland trout.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So you got to pay attention where your little red circle is, and then you shake it out. But then you have to make sure you shake the right amount. So certain recipes will have certain amounts of seasoning that they need, obviously, because that's how you make it taste good, right? And then, so you have to pay attention because it'll be like, I never did find a setting to put it into freedom numbers for me. So it was like in grams, and I was just hoping for the best. It was like, you need 5 grams. And I was like, oh boy, I'm just going to be shaking until my finger falls off. I don't know what a fucking gram is. I was born in America. Well, we don't do grams around these parts unless it's the meth kind.
Jesus Christ. You're on fire with this review, by the way.
I had a good time with the game. I was cracking jokes the whole time I was playing it. David's just sitting over here beside me going, Jesus Christ, what are you going to do? And I'm like, you know, I'm gonna make meth jokes. What I'm going to do. And so you got to shake it out. At least thankfully it tells you, hey, you shook out 1 gram. Hey, you shook out 2. Don't be a dumbass. You're going to overdo it. I'm very appreciative of the fact that the game will tell you are fucking up monstrosage badly.
Monstrously?
Yes. I don't know why I couldn't say it tonight, but badly. Any more drugs?
Awesome Prime, thank you for 10 sure. biddies, by the way. Many thanks to those. George, what do you say to that?
Dropping bits!
That is right, dropping bits.
That's a monstrous amount of bits. you gotta sprinkle the herbs on there like you sprinkle on the bits. And then you gotta go put that motherfucker in the oven. I will say that for all the things that this game like held my hand to explain to me like I was the dumbest motherfucker to ever see the light of day, the one thing it didn't tell me how to do was set the timer. I was so confused because it's like, okay, now cook the trout for 90 seconds. And I'm sitting here going, in game time? Real game time? I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. So, like, I'm sitting over here watching my clock, like, looking at my phone, going, is it 90 seconds yet? I don't know. And I kept pulling it out, and it wasn't done, and I was so confused, and I was like, oh, this is, must be how my husband feels when he cooks. And then I saw the timer sitting over there, and I was like, wow, I'm an idiot, because the game held my hand for everything. And then it doesn't go, pick up the timer, dumbass.
Proud of you.
Like, look at that. It's a timer. Like, it had me buy a blender and then throw it at a table, but it didn't tell me that I could pick up a timer and set it. So, you know, there's some wiggle room for improvement. But ultimately, I had such a good time playing this game and just buying all these different recipes and trying to actually succeed with my restaurant. The first day, it's like, yeah, you're doing fine. You're doing great. And you got like a 4-star review. I probably should have got a 5, but I did some dumb with the fish. I don't want to talk about it.
War trout again.
Yeah. I made 2 and I fucked 1 up and I dropped it. And I was like, head face. Like, I just kind of sit there and stared at it on the floor for a little bit, and then I lost some time. And I just said I didn't want to talk about it. What are you making me talk about this for, Joe? It's traumatizing.
Okay, well then just tell me. $20 on Cooking Simulator. What do you think of it?
I think you should buy it. I love these simulator games like this. And I was, that's why I was so convinced, like, that it had to be the same devs as like PC Building Simulator stuff, because it felt very same-ish in how you like navigate in the room and stuff. I was shocked. I'm very surprised. Like, you literally go on the computer to buy the recipes and shit, and I was like, oh yeah, this is, I've done this before. Color me surprised it's somebody different, but I think they did a good job, and it plays out really well, and it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Shout out No Time for Games dropping 150 biddies. George, let's play a long one. I want to hear about Wet Pancakes.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet Pancakes!
Wet Pancakes indeed. I love that one. And thank you for the biddies. Thank you, No Time. Always appreciated. We're going to get to Horizon Zero Dawn. We're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
We're at 7% already. Shit's going to go down.
By the time you get there, I'll have beaten it.
Probably.
I mean, I'm already at the end game. I just stopped so I could go do all the side shit.
You're at end game already?
Number one beat it before I did.
Hot damn.
I was like, calm the fuck down. So she's like sitting over here beside me playing, and I'm like holding my hand up trying to block her monitor so I don't get spoilers. Like, goddamn, tilt your screen over there or some shit.
Vertically impaired is heading to bed. Thank you, Tony, for hanging out. Always good seeing you. Have yourself a wonderful night. We got to keep going on. We got another game to talk about. This one is called Willy Morgan and the Curse of Bonetown, developed by Imaginary Lab, published by VLG Publishing, released August 11th on Steam for $19.99. A letter from 10 years ago, an intricate web of lies to unravel and mystery to solve. Explore an unconventional town of pirates, dive into the past, collect items, and look for clues to help Willy find out what happened to his father. Cole, tell us about the Curse of Bonetown.
So, was a title like The Curse of Bonetown, I kind of expected this game to be a little better fleshed out. That's not to say that it doesn't have a perfectly fine art style. It's not anything that like shakes your world, but it looks fine for what it is. It's believable for the story being told. The characters are believable enough. But you play as a young boy named Willy Morgan, and his parents are adventurers. He fancies himself an adventurer. And you take him on this point-and-click adventure. I feel like I'm saying adventure a lot, but that's really the only word for it that I've got capable for my brain tonight. But you take him on an adventure because his father's gone missing. And his mother just kind of peaced out. Recently, she goes on trips pretty often and leaves this little fella to his own devices. I never quite pinpointed how old he is. He kind of looks like he should be around 14 or 15. Some of the jokes he makes makes me like inclined to think he's like 9. He's a little immature. There was a whole conversation about not putting hamsters in the microwave.
Oh, God.
And like there's an achievement related to it.
I wonder if that's like a shout out to Maniac Mansion.
Probably. I was just like, that was the thing that happened.
Yeah, that sounds like a shout out to Maniac Mansion. Where you could blow up a hamster in the microwave.
Yeah, it was like some people prefer to put little furry animals in the microwave. I was like, no. So yeah, the gameplay is actual just point and click puzzle solving, very, very LucasArtsy, but without like the whole click to open door. Like you just click on the door, right? Like a little more modern of a LucasArts type of game. I kind of really expected to like be roped in and see some really cool creative puzzle solving, but everything that you did, and it's rare for me to like complain about this, but everything was just like, yeah, that's a logical thing to do. You know, there was never any puzzles that made me feel like they were creative solutions to get to. It was just reasonable enough, you know?
No.
Like, I need to open my piggy bank, but I don't. If you hit it with the rubber mallet, then it bounces back and hits you and knocks you backwards. So that doesn't work. Which was funny, but like, then the solution is actually attach a diamond you get from a ring onto a compass, not like a compass that tells you directions, but like a compass that draws a circle. Okay. and then just cut a hole in the piggy bank. And you're like, okay, that's reasonable enough. It's a little obtuse, but it's not, like, creatively obtuse, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't like, have thought of that.
There are definitely better ways to go about a puzzle solution than something like that. I will say I got stuck for the longest time because he keeps yelling at me that I needed a ladder. And the solution was just... And the whole time I'm looking at it, I'm like, you're a kid. Be a kid. Pull out the drawers to reach the top of the dresser. You don't need a ladder, right?
Yeah.
That's the actual solution. It's just I didn't open the drawers in the right order to make him do it. So I was like... It's not even that, like I said, it's not even that the solutions are obtuse, because my thought was, open the drawers, duh, you know, it was the immediate reaction, but it was so fickle because you had to do it in a certain order. And I was like, okay, come on now, you know, you could have just, once they were open, you could have just climbed up regardless of whether I opened the top or the bottom first. Because clearly it's obvious where the path for that goes. So I did have some hopes for I don't know, more creative story, more creative puzzling. It's fine for what it is. I think the opening sequence and stuff was really cool. And there's some really good cutscenes and stuff, but there's not really enough to make you like absorb into it and want to overwhelmingly explore. Like in a lot of point and click games, I'm like, okay, I will just poke around until I make things work. And I always felt in Willy Morgan that I was like, well, I see the answer already. And it took away the joy of like exploring it for me. Because it was just there, you know? I imagine maybe the kids would have had a little more fun with it in that regard, because it would have been like a great starter point and click for a younger kid. But for somebody who's into those kind of games and already knows what to expect, it's just a little too plain and on the nose.
Well, then $20 on it, what do you think?
It's not bad, right? Like, I feel like I complained about it, but I looked at it as like a hardcore
when it comes to adventure games.
And so it's kind of like, it's not a fair assessment, because in a way it feels like it really is just meant for a younger audience, maybe, or a newer to the genre type of audience. And I think if you're that kind of player, like you don't know if you like point and click, then it's definitely far more for you. And I'm okay going, yeah, pick it up. You'll have a good time. But if you're into it, you know your shit, and you're just going to be like, all the answers are ridiculously obvious, then you might want to just let it go. And so I guess I'm going to fall on a try it, because it kind of just depends on your skill level with these kind of games.
No.
It's not bad. It's just that it's noobish.
No. Works for me.
Yeah.
All right. Next game is called Even the Ocean, developed by Analgesic Productions, published by Rat Lake Games, released August 18th on PS4, 19th on Xbox, 21st on Switch for $14.99. Even the Ocean is a narrative action platformer about balancing the light and dark energies that hold the world together. Our friend Serlina wrote in a review for this one, and this is what she's got to say. Hey there, SML friends and fam, it's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Even the Ocean. In this game, you play as Aelith, or Technician 03A, a newbie power plant engineer who must traverse the world to repair the power plants and restore the flow of power to keep the world from falling into chaos. Let's get on with the review. I must say I was excited to review this game, as I believe this is my first Rat-a-Lake. I had high hopes going into the game from hearing SML discuss their other games previously, and I'm happy to report that it does not disappoint, and I really enjoyed the game. You play as Aelith, but she's not telling the story. The story is actually told by a character called the Storyteller, who is not human, and he or she narrates as you play, teaching you how to play and interjecting when necessary. The story is pretty good. You start out in your first assignment, and the shit hits the fan real quick. Aelith is super smart, though, and uses what she can to make the most of it and get back home alive. I told you the shit hits the fan, and in a big way. I don't want to reveal more about the story because spoilers, so let's talk about the gameplay instead. Even the ocean is a throwback platformer, so lots of jumping is in your future. The controls are pretty simple. Use the sticks or D-pad to move, X to interact, and the circle button to jump. Now you have some things to help you in your platforming quest. The first is Aelith can wall jump and wall slide, super useful in your quest. Aelith is also blessed with a shield, which is salvaged from the crazy things that happen in the beginning. The shield can absorb some damage for you and all four cardinal directions, which is cool. You can also use the shield in inventive ways to help you traverse the power plants. Another thing you have at your disposal is energy. This world runs off energy, and there are two types, light and dark energy. Aelith can harness that energy within her body to different effects. If she collects enough light energy, it'll allow her to jump higher, and if she collects enough dark energy, it'll allow her to move faster. There's a big caveat here, though. If Aelith's energy bar gets completely full of light or dark energy, she dies. A healthy balance is necessary to get through these levels. Moving on to the graphics, it's 16-bit, very nostalgic, but done in a good way. Nothing looks crazy or too jagged rough. Interestingly enough, the major building still pops and filled with me a little bit of awe, so that was a nice experience. Music-wise, I was really impressed with the soundtrack. It's subtle but timely. I would describe it as always being there, but not in an overwhelming way. Time-wise, it's not a long game at all. You've got five major acts. The story is fairly linear, but there are a few side quests that you can pick up and teach you more about the world you inhabit. One side quest that I really loved, you can do an obstacle courses that give you glimpses into the types of challenges you'll face in the power plants. I love being prepared, and this was a great way to get there. Even the Ocean is available right now on PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and Xbox One for $14.99, and should you buy it, you should definitely buy this one. It is a wonderful romp into a very interesting world with a different mechanic that forces you to be mindful of your surroundings. I would say if you're looking for a Mega Man Light-style game with super attainable achievements, this one is definitely for you. Did you get any time with this one at all?
I didn't, because I thought it was for Tuesday, next Tuesday. And so as soon as you said it, I was like, well, fuck, there, I fucked that one up, didn't I?
Son of a bitch.
It looks gorgeous, though. And
it does.
I'm really glad to see Radalica games with bigger budgets and bigger price tags. Yeah. It's also from the developer of Anodyne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when they were on the show, they talked about Even the Ocean, and here it is.
Yeah, it's nice to see that it's finally out.
Sounds like a good one.
It looks lovely.
So rock on, Radalica, for getting this one. I know Radalica has Clang 2 coming out later this year as well. That's another pretty big one that I'm excited about. My buddy Blind does a lot of the music in the game. We play Blind a lot on the show. Maybe I'll play him on this episode.
There you go.
I'll write that down. Play Blind. There. We're good. Next game to talk about is called The Alto Collection, developed by Team Alto and Serenity Forge, published by Snowman, released August 13th on Xbox One and PS4 for $9.99. Two journeys lie in wait across the endless desert and atop an alpine expanse. Choose your path and set off on a thrilling adventure with Alto and friends. Cole, tell us about The Alto Collection.
So Alto is pretty simple. It's basically an endless runner. It has two games bundled up together in it because it's a collection and that's what they do. The first game is Alto's Adventure, wherein you play as a little fella named Alto. Imagine that. And Alto's llamas have gotten loose. So he sets out down the hill on his skis to collect his llamas. I told you that this was a simple game.
Yes.
It has a very lovely minimalist art style. It's so pretty. I was blown away. I was not expecting it to be that pretty. And I can be... Minimalism is a lot like... Minimalism? I don't know.
Minimalism.
Yeah. As soon as I said it, I was like, that fucked that up. I'm struggling tonight. I'm telling you, I haven't had enough drugs yet. One of the things about it is that it's kind of like pixel art for me. It's either done really well or it's not. But the Alto Collection is actually really pretty. They did a fantastic job with their color palettes and making the world, even in its simplicity, feel really rich. Which is impressive because you're literally just a little dude on skis just going down an endless hill, level after level after level. As you're sliding down the hills, you'll have to jump over rocks, you'll have to jump over chasms, and you have to collect your llamas, which is basically just like you go past them. And I guess it sends them home. I don't know what the actual...
teleportation. That's my guess.
Yeah, it's game magic. You know, it's a thing.
You put them in your pocket.
Yeah. So yeah, the longer your or the larger your combo gets and the better you're doing, the longer your scarf gets. I love that that's part of the minimalism factor of the game, is that like there's no times two, times three, you know, popping up. It's just your scarf gets a little longer, and so you know you're doing well. you really only have one input. That's the A button, and it jumps. Or it flips. If you hold it, it does a backflip. If you just press it, it jumps. Easy peasy. There's coins you can collect. There's special power-ups that you can get. If you have enough speed, you might be able to do a trick or two before you hit at the other side of a chasm. I will say the chasms are kind of my biggest nemesis in this game. And that's because in the tutorial part of a level, when I have to deal with it, I feel like I can't do it to save myself. It's literally just press A at the right time. And yet when I get past the tutorial and I'm just coming across them normally, I'm like, yep, pew, jump, 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 no problem. And then I'm like, why do I get stuck and die 74 times on the tutorial every time I do it? But I just jump over them normally. I don't understand what I do there. But given that the game only has the one input, it's clearly, obviously, my fault. If you get enough of running through all the levels and collecting all the llamas in the snow, then you can go over and play Alto's Odyssey, which then puts Alto in the desert, and also the llamas are loose again. And now you're skiing in the desert. Alto's Odyssey is... Even though it still has that really lovely minimal aesthetic, it's a lot more advanced in what you can do. The original adventure very much is just jump over rocks, collect the coins. Sometimes you can grind on a pennant banner, and that's about it. Whereas in Odyssey, you also have the option of like jumping on hot air balloons like they're trampolines. And there's more, even though it's still the limited controls, you have a little more leeway and airtime to get those bigger combos and to do a little more to get the higher scores. Each level will have three objectives. You don't have to do them all in one swipe. If you get one of them and then you wipe out, you can go back and get the other two and still get all three stars. It's very casual, very easy to play, very minimal game. But I had a good time with it, and I was really shocked by how pretty it was.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous game, and it's fun and addictive, too.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those that I could see just loading up to play for 20 minutes or so before I go to bed, just chill out.
Yeah, I will say I am never in my life going to afford any of the shit in the shop.
Yeah, the shop does have the option for equipment, like a helmet where you get a free crash. And that shit is ungodly expensive. I do really well on the levels, and I usually knock out all three stars and then still keep going because, it's you just press A. So, and still, I think I have yet to be able to buy a helmet or more than one helmet at a time.
Yeah, they need to rework the economy. You could tell this was a game that was based around free-to-play model with buying coins and using them to buy stuff. It needs to be rebalanced for a full purchase game. If we spent $10, I don't want to have to play this 100 hours just to afford a helmet.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah, but overall, $10 on it, what do you say?
I'm good with a buy it. Like I said, it's super pretty. It's kind of relaxing and just easy to play. And it's one of those that you're just like, you know, I'm going to load it up and just see how far I can get. And then I turn it off and I'm done for the night.
Works for me. And if you're on the fence, I believe you could get one of them on Windows 10. Just the first Alto game, like Alto's Odyssey, it might be. I don't remember. Search for Alto on the Windows 10 store. You'll probably find it. But, next game to talk about is called Through the Darkest of Times, developed by Paint Bucket Games, published by Handy Games, released August 13th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $14.99. Berlin, January 1933. Adolf Hitler is chancellor. We all know where that message will lead to. Unspeakable horrors and suffering will come to the world. Too few are standing up against the monstrosity of the German Reich. Will you lead an underground resistance group through the darkest of times? Cole, tell us about it.
So if Alto's collection was all about being peaceful and relaxing and just something you could do mindlessly, Through the Darkest of Times is the literal exact opposite. It's very dark. It's very gritty. It's got a very unique art style. Reminds me a little bit of the first Beholder game, where it's just a lot of grays and tans, but there's a little bit of spot color here and there for like eye color or blood. So it's a strategy game that takes place during the rise of Hitler. I will say I 100% appreciate what the devs have done with this, though. If you are bothered by seeing Nazi paraphernalia and memorabilia in a game, or iconography in any kind of way, you can go into the settings and turn it off.
That's cool.
And so, like, the obvious story beats are still there, but you're just not bombarded with swastikas and things like that, which is really respectable. They also give you the option to have the dialogue be in English or German. So if you want, you can set it to German dialogue and English subtitles, which was really cool as well. You play as a character of your own creation, and your goal is to bring together a resistance group to help try to thwart Hitler's plans. You are going to constantly be bombarded with difficult decisions, even on story mode. I had a lot of times where I thought I was, oh, and there goes my cat just stepping on keys. Thanks, dude.
Meow.
Doesn't even have the balls to meow at me. He just steps on my shit and walks away.
Pieces out.
Yeah. Bye, bitch. Don't knock my controller down. No. Cat distraction for a second.
Handy Games is listening to this. Like, what is wrong with these people? I'm very sorry,
Handy Games. My cat was being problematic.
Kitty.
He would not survive the resistance. He does not have secrecy. So you're trying to you create a character, and it's up to you to use that character to put together resistance. And you need to make decisions like, how are you going to earn marks, which is German currency? How are you going to earn enough marks so that you can buy paper? But then you've got to be careful about buying paper, because if you send the same person to buy paper repeatedly, they're going to get spotted. Especially if they don't have a position that justifies using paper. Like, I purposely added a teacher to my team because I thought that would justify paper usage. And in the end, it kind of worked out. But then, like, I overused her. And before you knew it, like, she had 4 warning bars and I had to send her into hiding for a week.
Oh, God.
It's really stressful when you have a character that you're dependent on in your party to do something as mundane as like make leaflets for you to try to get out to add support, because you have to keep your morale high. You have to keep keep adding supporters who are going to help you with your cause. Otherwise you may not be able to get into shops to purchase paint that you might need to put resistance slogans up, or you may not be able to get have a doctor that's willing to give you medicine. And then you have a character who gets beaten by the Secret Service dudes and the brown shirts. And all of a sudden, how are you going to take care of a member of your team if they're broken and bloody, right?
No.
So you have to be really mindful of your resources, build up very slow. It's very slow. It's very antagonizing. You've also got to think about how your character moves in the world. And I was very adamant to be careful to always give the appearance of being supportive. And that was hard for me to like actively make choices in the game. If anybody has seen me play games or talk to me when I'm playing games, you know that I tend to make a decision like that early and then I just commit to it and I write it out whether I like it or not, right? And so I had actively decided for my character, I was like, no matter what, when she's in the presence of somebody else, she has to act like she's supportive. Otherwise, she could get busted, right? It makes sense. But then that led to some other situations where I was like, if I had made different decisions, she maybe could have prevented a kid from joining the Hitler Youth. Or she could have talked her neighbor out of being a guard at a concentration camp. Like, what else could I have done if I hadn't put on this facade of support the whole time?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, each night I'm in my little resistance cove trying to figure out how I'm going to give members of my team money for a lawyer after their father gets arrested. How am I going to find an author I met at a book burning? How am I going to react when I see brown shirts in the middle of a public beating? All these things are decisions you have to make, and all of them affect the game's outcome. And it's very heavy, very dark, and it can be really emotional. But I think that the developers have done an exceptional job of making it something where you're aware of the weight of your decisions and you're aware of the weight of your behavior in the game. There's a lot of titles that draw on World War II era issues, but a lot of times they'll gloss over some of the more harrowing bits. And through the darkest of times, it does not hesitate to show you that shit and to make you come to terms with the choices that you make. And I can really appreciate that. But it's not a game that's for everybody. It's definitely very emotionally difficult to sit through, but I appreciated it. And I, even though it put me through a ringer, I enjoyed my time with it to the point that I think it was probably my favorite game this week.
Wow.
Just because it was so well managed, you know?
No.
That you appreciated every choice you had to make. And that's tough to do in a game like this.
Well, then $15, what do you say?
I'm gonna say it's a buy it, but be very aware of the content of the game. Because even with the option to turn off the iconography and stuff like that, it can be difficult for some people.
Yeah.
So just take that into consideration before you pick it up.
All right. And finally tonight, we're bringing in Jacob Garner. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
I mean, halfway through, well, not halfway, but like most of the way through a show.
We're halfway there.
This show just got a lot worse.
We just got copyright claimed.
Yeah.
Nice.
YMCA'd right here.
Oh, jeez.
Wait, what?
My God.
Oh, never mind. I was just like, holy crap, Cole, did the Village people seriously come after you? And then I realized what you were making a joke about.
Yeah. Proud of you, Jacob.
Whatever. Thank you.
How are you doing?
I mean, I'm doing generally okay. I mean, I threw out my back on Sunday, and it's finally getting better. Thanks to pain pills left over from when I had my wisdom teeth taken out.
Nice.
Yeah.
So everybody's medicated on the show.
Oh, no. I'm good today. I'm good today.
Oh, well, that's boring.
Yeah, I didn't take anything. Yeah. But on the plus side, part of me wishes I could actually redo my review for Yakuza 2, because, like, now that I'm at, like, the 25th hour mark, like, there's all this other shit that's happened in the game since my review, and I think I'm now at 30-plus hours. I don't know. But anyway. But yeah, there's, like, all this other shit, but it's just, like, at the same time, my review would still be the same. Fucking buy this game. So it's, like, I don't know. Like, I think my favorite part about it is that it's just like beating up random youths on the street no longer holds like, you know, any, like, it's fun, but it's like whatever. No, all my time is now spent in the host club, the hostess club, it spent all of that time, and all I'm doing is just, like, you know, managing each evening and stuff like that, and, you know, making sure all my women, you know, have fine dresses, and, you know, I'm watching after them and stuff like that. And, yeah, the Yakuza pimp life ain't easy.
Pimping ain't easy.
Dude, I, like, one day on, when I was working, I think it was Wednesday, I think it was either Wednesday or Tuesday, like, I took my lunch, I just came downstairs, and, like, I did a couple of sessions in there, and I'm like, fuck it, you know what, I'm gonna go for the championship in my league, which was just the first one, and holy shit, I won it by 87,000 yen, and Jesus. I was just like, yeah, dude, like, the opposing, like, club's girl, like, pulled out all the stops, like, went into, like, some sort of fever mode in, like, the last 30 seconds. Because originally I was, like, going to blow him out of the water by, like, half a mil at least. And then all of a sudden it's just like, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm going to get fucking destroyed. But I fucking pulled, like, had, because I was a fucking cheapskate that night and not giving my girls gifts when, like, they got, like, their guys to extend their sessions and shit like that, because I was a fucking cheapskate, I won by 87,000 yen.
Lord.
So, if I was my usual generous self, I would have lost. So,
damn.
That was exciting. Which is,
I can tell. That sounds kind of thrilling.
It's kind of weird that this is, like, the most exciting part of the Yakuza games. I don't know what to make of it. I really don't. So,
hey, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got three games that I have to review for the show now, and I'm kind of like, oh, I can't do my hostess club.
Well, three for next week. You got two for tonight. You ready for these?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's keep going then. Next game to talk about is called Stones of the Revenant, developed and published by Chicken Cat Games, released August 19th on Xbox One for $9.99. Destroy powerful artifacts known as the Stones of Revenant and defeat the Revenant himself. Don't let looks fool you. This is a challenging quest to save the realm of the living. Are you up for it? Jacob, tell us about it.
No, I am not.
I didn't think you would be.
No, I am not up for said quest. All right, so this is one of those rare titles where we're about to do a review and all of a sudden, like, the maker of it emails us and is just like, hey, by the way, I'm rolling out a patch real quick, you know, all the other kind of stuff. And so it's just like, all right, damn it, let's hold off for a little bit and see what it's like. So initially this game was hard as hell. Like, I never got to a boss. It seemed to be a lot of timing bullshit. There was a lot of weird choices with controls and stuff like that. Like, you could fire your special ability or whatever. You could fire it, but you couldn't fire it while jumping, and you couldn't fire it to your left. Like, it had a bunch of weird design choices with it, which I guess I kind of got, like, in sort of like a weird, like, arcadey kind of way. I don't know. So the patch comes out. The game is hard as hell. But those issues I just described are now gone. So, hooray, I advanced a few more stages farther.
Nice.
It's kind of weird. Like, there's these different classes that you can take, like, mage, what is it? Like, ranger, I don't know, it's standard RPG kind of stuff, but it also tells you, like, well, if you play the game, like, with this kind of class, you're going to have this kind of difficulty with it, which,
yeah, it has a little gauge to kind of,
yeah,
guide you towards a more noob friendly character,
which did not help me in the slightest, both with the original and the patched version. Either way, I still died pretty quickly. Although, I will say this, I thought that the character designs were kind of interesting. Like, I really enjoyed how, like, the ranger was actually, like, a centaur. Like, you don't see that kind of stuff, because usually it's just, all right, well, it's somebody on two legs, you know, we'll give it that, and whatever. Like, the fact that they actually took the time to, like, create, like, such, like, differences in the character, I'll give the guy props for that. And meanwhile, like, I mean, the game itself, it looks nice. The backgrounds got an upgrade with that patch. They look beautiful. The music is okay, but it's just, none. It feels like none. It doesn't matter which class you take. It's kind of like the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on NES, where it's just like if you don't take like Leonardo, you might as well just go get fucked. Like everyone else just sucks. Except for me, it felt like all the classes, you know, were crap. It was constantly difficult. It didn't matter what I did. I was constantly getting killed. And it still feels like it's just you got to get like a rhythm down to the game almost. I mean, Joe, would you agree on this? Or is it just a case of, Jacob, you're just god awful at platformers?
I think it's a little column A, little column B. Like, okay. I made it a decent way into the game. I made it to, like, I think the fourth stage I got to, and I didn't realize that there's no kind of save system in the game.
Yes, which annoyed the ever-living shit out of me.
It's old-school arcade where you start, you finish, and you move on. So, if you don't have time to sit down and spend, like, an hour, hour and a half playing this game, don't get involved because there's no saving in between stages.
Which, like,
you can't stop, come back later. Unless that was added in a patch that I'm unaware of.
No.
No?
So far not.
Yeah, I would have loved to see this. Like, this is one of those games I would have loved to see taken further. Like, I would love to see upgrades to it. Like, I would have loved to see maybe more characters with more defining characteristics that made them feel more unique. Saving would have been great to just save my game and come back later and start at stage 4 instead of having to start over at stage 1 and go through the slow auto-scrolling.
See, this is the problem with Bomberman X-Zero in 2005. Jesus. Hold on. It's just like, it's 2005. Come on, guys. Why don't you have a save? Like, why are there no saves in this game? Stones of the Revenant. It's 2020. Dude, come on. Why are there no saves in this game?
No.
Like, my other gripe with it is that it's just like your attacks, it's just like they all felt like nothing mattered ever. And I spent more time hopping around, you know, than actually like firing my, like, you know, hop, fire my weapon, hop away, fire my weapon, hop. Like, and it's just like, it just didn't feel fun.
No.
Like,
well, overall, $10 on it. What do you think? I need a verdict.
Pass. No.
Like, I'm going to go with it. I had fun with it. It's definitely a more challenging game. I didn't really spend as much time with it after it was patched, so I might even be able to get even further now than I did before. I think you just suck at the game, but that's, you know, normal. That's par for the course, really.
You're the worst, Joe.
I mean, I am.
It's one of those things where it's just like, you know, if this game keeps getting patched and there's like actual improvements to like what we've talked about, then yeah, I'd be more than willing to revisit this, and, you know, definitely like upgrade from a pass to like, you know, try it or even a hell yeah. But it's just like the fact that it felt like nothing that what I did mattered. Like, it didn't matter which class I was. My attacks all seemed to have done nothing. It just wasn't fun for me. So
did you try whacking them in the face?
Yeah, face whacking. We went over that. Thank you, Cole.
Face whacking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. Are you saying I should hit the enemies with stuff?
Yes.
In the face.
Yes.
Oh my god, that is a game changer. What, Cole, have you patented this gameplay idea?
No. I feel like when you have an idea that's really good, you should just share it with the masses. Kind of like how when seatbelts were made, they were like,
"Just like seatbelts."
Yeah, we can't, like, you know, keep this to ourselves. So everybody gets a seatbelt. Everybody gets a face whack.
Huh?
Good old face whacking.
If you play shooter games, if you probably aim your gun at your enemy, that might do something.
Only if you aim at the face.
Aim at the face.
Yeah, buddy. That's what she said. All right. Final game to talk about tonight is called The Explorer of Night, developed by Alexander Bondarenko, published by Zytillion. I hope that's how it's said. We've covered their games how many times, and I still don't know how to say the name. So I'm going with Zytillion.
We should probably like email them and be like, yo, how do you pronounce your name?
I feel like a dick asking, but now if he listens to the show, or she, it's just like initials and then Zytilian.
Would you like me to pass them a note during study hall?
Yes. Just a note with like, do you like me? Yes, no.
Well, Joe, everyone is like, no.
I know. But yeah, The Explorer of Night released August 14th on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $4.99 with a 10% launch discount until the 28th. The Explorer of Night is a minimalist platformer where you need to help the main character get out of the forest inhabited by unfriendly enemies. That's a new one. Unfriendly enemies and dangerous traps. In the game, you'll find interesting puzzles, boss fights, and cute story. Jacob, tell us about The Explorer of Night.
So, yeah. So, the description is actually pretty apt. It is a minimalist thing. I mean, it looks like it could have been released on the NES. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the same time, there's a certain beauty to it that they got done really well with it. So you're playing this cat whose kid gets sick, and you know the only way to like get them better is like some sort of like magical plant that only grows at the top of this mountain. So of course you're like, well, of course I'm going to help my kid. Blah 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 blah. So you go off on search, you know, and search for it. And yeah, the game kind of just holds your hand at first. Make sure that you understand normal platforming stuff. But then it moves into like these really tricky puzzles, as it said. And a lot of it, I really feel like speedrunners would, you know, would have a lot of fun with this game. But it's really just, you know, navigating the traps, navigating the enemies, and making it from one end of the level to the next, and then go on to the next level, which is progressively harder. I mean, there's not a like there's honestly not a lot to say about it.
Yeah, it's not a super deep game.
Yeah, my literally only gripe with it was climbing the ladders and then trying to get off of them, because the game doesn't really let you jump off of a ladder, and you have to climb off of it, and it just sometimes that can actually screw you up with if you were planning on like falling onto a platform and stuff like that. So you have to be careful of that. And then, I don't know, just sometimes like the jumps didn't feel like, I don't know. But anyway, I had a ton of fun with it. You know, I definitely recommend it. It's simple. It's fun. Thankfully, you know, the levels are long enough that you feel like there is a challenge, but also not too long where it becomes tedious. So I do appreciate that. The only other thing that I thought was kind of weird about it is that it wants access to your Xbox
profile. That's nothing off kilter. That is nothing out of the ordinary. That happens with all Play Anywhere titles. It is a behind-the-scenes handshake that for some reason isn't behind the scenes. Developers hate it just as much as players because it makes it look like something shady, but it's not.
Okay.
It's literally just asking for your profile.
Okay, Joe.
Oh, no, I'm just explaining. Listen, motherfucker. Oh, you've seen that in games, right?
The thing is, I've seen it in games, but the only games I've seen it in are AAA titles. So I thought it was like, this is kind of weird that, you know, this indie game is asking for it.
I've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
A million times. And, like, it's funny because it'll send you the email, too, and be like, does that? Now has access to your profile. And it's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I get the little notice on my phone with the authenticator app that's like, yep. new program has new access login. To. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that for some reason has to be made in front for the user to confirm. I don't know why, but it's a Play Anywhere issue. And
okay. Yeah. Well, good to know.
That's a non-issue. But otherwise, $5, what do you think?
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Cool.
Definitely recommend this one.
And again, you could save 10% until the 28th. So save that 50 cents, pick it up for $4.50, and explore the night.
Or you could become a reviewer for the SML podcast and then get it at 100% discount.
Pretty no, nifty. Because it's already gone now.
Yeah, you already reviewed it.
Your whore ass did it.
Are you telling people to take games away from you? Okay, I mean, so if anybody wants to do reviews,
literally anybody take Jacob's reviews, and well, they would.
I mean,
a potato could do them, and they'd be better.
We'll find out next week.
Probably could review games better than me. So yeah. I mean,
to what be fair,
meow.
A potato could host the show better than us, anyway. So yeah. Let's be fair.
The internet it's would true. Actually prefer that. Yeah,
Ilmar would be talking to a potato. The potato would be like, yo, what's up? Tell us about your game. And Ilmar would be like, holy shit, a talking potato. What the fuck's going on?
You just hold up your cat in front of the screen.
Oh my God, this show's just off the rails.
Just narrate it like Bob Saget on America's Funniest Home Videos. Well, what do you think about your game?
How many people are going to remember that Bob Saget hosted America's Funniest Home Videos?
Like two.
God.
How many people are going to remember Bob Saget?
That's two. True. Yeah, like
two. All right. Well, music this week, we're going to play some Blind because we talked about it earlier. So we're going to end the show with some Blind. And Jacob, we're going to see you here next week. So thanks for being here. We'll see you then. Cole, thanks for being here.
That's unfortunate.
Yep. Aki was here. So thanks to her. And Ilmar. With Dungeon Scavenger.
Good interview.
Yeah, good review on that. We'll find out. Purnell's going to be talking about that probably next episode. But anyone have any final words to end the show?
Nope.